Greetings and welcome to another edition of the FPL Dilemma for an Addict, the official podcast of the Football Addicts Facebook community. My name is William, with me again is Bakes. How are you going this evening?
Mate, I'm going very well. I've had a good game week for once. I'm above average. With 64 points, which is had a few people who came through for me this week. So got a host of Green Arrows for once, which is a welcome sight.
That is
how
good.
How you go?
Very welcoming. Oh, me, not so welcoming. It was a horrible Saturday for me. I didn't have Ozil or Lukaku, so I mean, Lukaku was the one that killed me, really. I mean, he was heavily captained and he went and scored two goals, didn't he? I mean, I remember seeing Barkley, he scored the first goal, and I was thinking, well, you know, that's alright, I mean, as long as Lukaku doesn't score. And then I saw, you know, a pile of posts on the Fantasy Football Scout message boards and Lukaku this, Lukaku captain, Lukaku C. And it was just from then, the evening was a true nightmare.
But didn't Kane came through for you in the end, didn't he? So
yeah,
it was a stressful 24 hours, but...
It was fear and trembling. I was in eternal resignation for 24 hours. But yeah, as you said, forever in debt to Kane.
So you captained Kane, I captained Lukaku. I think Kane actually came out 2 points ahead. But
yeah, he did.
Yeah, that's neither here nor there. They both did well.
Yeah.
You know, for me, the absolute highlight, you know, putting FPL to one side was Liverpool just routing City. Mm. It was just an absolute joy to watch. I watched it from minute one to minute 93 or whatever, and just, oh my God, by the end of it, I was quite excited, let's say.
Your little heart was going a million miles an hour.
Little lump in my pants, it was excellent. I mean, it just kind of leads on, doesn't it? I mean, who are the final four? Who's going to win this? Arsenal slipped up against West Brom. City got smashed, as we said, by Liverpool. Man U needed an own goal in the 90th minute to get past Watford.
They're
looking really impressive.
Mm.
And meanwhile, these sort of second-tier teams, you know, Spurs, Liverpool, Everton. Liverpool's a second-tier team, but also Leicester showing signs of great form.
Mm.
So who's, you know, at this point, who's going to win it, and who's your top four?
I still think City still have the numbers last year. They probably should have won it last year. They had the numbers. They've still got the numbers. Spurs have similar numbers. I'd probably, if you put a gun to my head now, I'd probably say City. I think top four will be, City, Arsenal, United, and probably between Spurs or Liverpool. And at this stage, I probably can't pick between those two.
Yeah. I think, man, he's got to be a dark horse. I know they're playing and shit, and I can hardly watch them, but they are resolute at the back. And I get the feeling once, you know, LVG finally drops Rooney and goes with the young guard, with kind of Mata pulling the strings, I just think that they're going to find a bit of mojo and in the front third, and they're going to be really dangerous.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they are
a dark horse. I tend to agree with you. It's just that City's been routed now by Liverpool and also by Tottenham. It's bizarre.
Yeah, I can't explain that. That's a weird one.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll get on to part one. Look at the big scorers. So start with the defenders. Looking at Erik Peeters. Well, Piet Peeters, yeah, he's a Dutch fella. He's a Dutch right back or left back, I can't remember. So anyway, yeah, not for me. I think only because you can get Butland cheaper pretty well. I thought Stoke's fixtures were bad, but they aren't that bad. Well, they've got Man City in two game weeks, and that's really it. So I think as I said, you probably should save some cash here and just get Butland instead. I think, instead of Peters.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the fixtures probably looked a little bit worse, but West Ham and Crystal Palace have lost form. So it's, you know, they got a good one against Sunderland. They've got Sunderland coming up, and then they've got City, West Ham, Crystal Palace, Manchester United and Everton. So it looked worse than it was, but with West Ham and Crystal Palace really kind of faltering, I think that you're right, and they don't look too bad. I agree. Yeah. Butland's a superstar. He's well, we've both got him. I love him.
Yeah, he's a champ. Yeah, and it's, I mean, Stoke's biggest thing is that they don't concede big chances. They only conceded one. They only conceded one chance on target against Southampton, and they don't concede big chances. And I think they are conceding the least big chances of any team in the league. So that's a pretty big draw card for me. All right. So
yeah, absolutely. It's you're dead right. I think they're fourth behind Arsenal, Tottenham and Manchester in big chances conceded. They've only conceded five for the season.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Bournemouth have conceded 22 on the other end.
Yeah, Bournemouth are a funny team. Like, that's funny. Like, they don't concede, I could be wrong, they don't concede many shots in the box, but when they do concede a shot, like, it seems like they concede meaningful shots in the box. This is Bournemouth. Like, they're a weird team. Like the shit keepers, I suppose.
I was looking into this just before we started because I'm trying to work out who to captain. Obviously, Lukaku is coming out, but he's away.
Yeah,
and I always get a little bit worried about captaining an away player. I had a look at it. Bournemouth concede behind City, Arsenal and Liverpool. Bournemouth concede the less goal attempts inside the box than any other team. They've only conceded 82 all season. Now that compares with 126 from Sunderland, 125 from Newcastle. However, that's attempts conceded. However, they have the worst goals conceded inside the box.
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? Yeah.
How does that work? They've conceded 26 times out of those 82 attempts.
Mm.
Like they're conceding one in four attempts. One in three almost attempts inside the box goes in. So does that, I don't know, the shot blocking's not on, the goalkeeper's rubbish. I'm just not sure what's going on. But you're right, they're a funny team. I've only just discovered it.
That's
a weird statistic.
Yeah, they're a funny team. Like all season I've stuck with Simon Francis and it's time to let him go because they're just going to keep, I think they will keep conceding. And yeah, it is, it's a little funny anomaly. So I can't explain it and I don't think anyone can explain it, and I'd probably put it down just to the shit keepers, but that Boric, he's rubbish, and he just makes mistake after mistake, and I don't know. I mean, Federici might not be a bad keeper. I don't know. I mean, he's an Australian keeper, and I should probably sort of back him, but he's had some clangers. I watched him in one of the games. I think it was the City game when they conceded five or whatever, and they could have conceded 30. Like he made all these fantastic saves, but yeah, I don't know. It is a funny one. So we'll probably look into that a bit more later on the episode. Move on to Seamus Coleman. He came in with 10 points. So yeah, I'd probably consider him. I mean, Everton, they might keep clean sheets, but I certainly wouldn't be banking on it. I'd probably rate Tottenham United and probably Moreno from Liverpool higher than this fella, so I'm not too sure. It's probably a tentative yes, but I still don't trust Everton. I'd probably prefer, as I said, Tottenham United or Liverpool, to be honest.
Yeah, I've had Coleman for quite a while now.
You've got him. Oh,
and
he's
finally come through with 10 points. You know, you've got the bonus, the assist, the clean sheet. He's spent a lot of time out with injury. The problem is, I completely agree with you. Marino's the guy to have at the moment, 4.9. Coleman's 5.9, yeah. A whole million more expensive. Coleman, the problem with Everton is that Jags is gone. So Jags really, he's the captain, he holds it together, and they just don't look like the same defensive unit with him gone. I mean, I know Baines is out, but Galloway's done a good job. But with Jags out, Jagielka, just Coleman, you know, they're leaky at the back. I know they've got great fixtures, but, you know, looking at Everton further up the park's probably a better bet. I completely agree with you. I would prefer to, in the next few game weeks, have Marino on the team rather than Coleman.
Yeah, and I was just reading today that Coleman come out and actually he physically said in an interview that Gerard Deulofeu, well, it is basically taking a lot of his attacking impetus off him since he's come into the team. So, yeah, basically Coleman just said, like, when I get the ball and I advance with it, I just give it to him. And so for him to say that, you know, we can assume that in the past that hasn't been the case. So I think a lot of those attacking points that, you know, that we've relied on over the past two seasons, including myself, I've had Coleman in for large periods of time. I think he's going to lose some attacking returns due to Deulofeu. So yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. So moving on to Danny Simpson, interesting one. He comes in with 10 points. So yeah, I mean, Leicester's fixtures are not good, but he is a 4.0 defender. He's like, yeah, well, if you're on a wild card or you need to get some, you know, quick cash, then I'd probably bring him in. I don't think he's the cheapest nailed-on defender in the game. I think that might be Bennett from Norwich. But yeah, I think he's probably worth bringing in. I mean, you're not gonna play him for the next seven game weeks, but he's still nailed on.
Well, Leicester's proving to be surprisingly resilient at the back. I mean, we've spoken about their front third. Obviously, you know, Mahrez and Vardy are high ownership players. But at the back, we've kind of written them off. We've talked about their Clydesdales, Hooth, and who's the other guy at the back there? But
Morgan.
Hooth and Morgan, and how Leicester basically starts 1-0 down in any game and has to claw back to win it. But they have proved surprisingly resilient in the last couple of game weeks. So it's having a 4-0 defender from Leicester is not a bad option.
No, I don't think it is. Yeah, I think it's a good one. All right, so let's move on to, we've got a trio of players that have scored, that did score 9 points. So first is Martin Skrtel. So yeah, this is a no due to the reasons before. I just think Moreno, the Spaniard wing back, is of better value in my opinion.
Yep.
So that moves on to, we've got Phil Jones and Alderweireld. So yeah, I think Phil Jones is injured now, I think. So that,
gone.
Yeah. He rules him out. So, yeah, that just leaves Rojo. So, and I think he didn't start, which apparently was due to international things. So, did he concede that? I think he came on due to that injury. Was it that injury? It was a different injury. And I think he conceded. He conceded the penalty, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm not too sure actually. I didn't see a lot of that game. It's funny because he's one guy I've been looking at closely. I can't just get a handle on Manchester United's defence. For a team that's conceding so few goals and keeping so many clean sheets, especially at home, it's very difficult to work out who to invest in apart from
Smalling.
De Gea and Smalling.
Who is too much.
Yeah.
He's too expensive. Yeah.
So, yeah, Jones lasted 68 minutes on the weekend, so...
Well, I think... Who got injured? Herrera got injured, and Dalig Blind was moved into midfield. Rojo must have been brought on, and then they... I don't know. I can't remember. I can't think. But, yeah... I think Rojo's still pretty nailed on. He just didn't start because of international duties, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, it's pretty annoying. All right, so we'll move on to next. We've got Alderweireld. So yeah, he scored a goal, and so he's scored two now. Actually, I still don't have any Tottenham defensive coverage. I wish I did. Even though they've sort of been conceding, you know, a goal every game, they've got good fixtures, and I think that they'll probably start keeping clean sheets.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, it was Herrera got injured at the 25th minute mark.
Yeah. So yeah, they had a reshuffle.
Then Rojo came on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Blind must have moved into midfield. Okay.
Yeah, must have. That makes sense. So yeah, Alderweireld, he looks good. So just looking at it's looking like Liverpool's fixtures are about to take a turn for the better. So yeah, looking at Moreno, he looks like a goodie.
Mate, Liverpool's fixtures, their home, have you seen, it's been posted up on Facebook, but their home fixtures from now to the end of the comp are unbelievable. Yeah. So all their difficult games are just about on the road.
Mm.
So Liverpool, you know, I've made a little note here about Liverpool, and Liverpool are, you know, that they're a strong buy. The problem is we need to see a bit of selection consistency in the mids and the forwards.
Yeah.
We need to see how they line up when Sturridge gets back, when Benteke gets back. We've got Firmino, who's had a brilliant game, and Coutinho, we're just about to talk about these guys. And probably wait till Saka returns to the back line as well for the clean sheets. But Liverpool are a buy in some way, shape or form.
Mm.
They're gonna do very, very well on the road, and they're gonna build Anfield into a fortress.
Yeah, there's away fixtures. I just saw that. All those, it's just immense to have how easy some of those fixtures will be for them. So yeah, I agree. All right, so let's move on to midfielders. So we've got a couple of guys that have come up that are certainly worth talking about. So we've got Ross Barkley, Philip Coutinho, Robert Firmino. So yeah, they're the three that we'll probably talk about. So we'll start with Barkley now. I've got Ross Barkley in my real dream team, and been very patient with this guy, very tempted to get rid of him because he hasn't sort of boast particularly good stats. The majority of his shots do come from outside the box. And he's really frustrating to watch. I mean, often you see him sort of taking that sort of wrong option and going for a shot which has little to no chance of going in. He's way down in terms of his expected goal stat. He's got an expected goal stat of 2, so he's overperformed. Both of his goals in this Villa match were really fortuitous. I think they were pretty well both tap-ins. I just think this guy is going to be consistent. I think if you're going to go for some Everton coverage, I'd go for someone else. But, you know, I think he's a good player. He's just not an FPL player for me.
Yeah, listen, I feel the same way. I love him and I hate him. I think he's exciting. I like to watch him. He is a gifted player. He had a great round, didn't he? Like two goals, an assist, a clean sheet, 3 bonus points, 19 points. You've had the captain on him. Massive kahunas and well-deserved.
Mm.
What would he got? 38 points if you captained him. So he got 19 points. You know, but his goals were pretty crap, really. They were kind of messy tap-ins.
Mm.
The assist was amazing.
His assist was really good. Yeah, I agree. For me,
Delafoe's the man at Everton, like in the midfield. Although Barkley got assists, Delafoe was always one pass off, and he's the class midfielder.
He's great
in that team. He's the guy that you should really be looking at for week in, week out returns.
Mm.
Barkley's going to have these big game weeks. He's the number 10 at Everton. He will have these game weeks, but he's got 22% of his shots, as you say, are outside the box, and that is. Sorry, are inside the box with 77% of his shots outside the box, and it's way too high a percentage.
Mm.
That said, over the last four game weeks, Barkley and Coutinho, from a statistics perspective, offer the highest goal threats of any midfielder.
Mm.
But I just think that he is shooting way too far out.
Yeah, I agree. Evererson scored those six goals the other game week in Everton, and Barkley had no involvement at all. You know, that's worrying signs. And then they go and score four goals, and he gets two goals and an assist. So, I mean, as I said, that's inconsistency personified, really. I think, you know, if you're desperate to get Aguero in, which, I mean, I'm not in particular, then he probably is a decent downgrade if you're going to get rid of KDB, or, you know, if you're silly, you're going to get rid of Sanchez. But, yeah, he's just... Delafay is probably a better option. I think he should be involved with most of the things that Everton do, I think. Cool, so we'll move on to Coutinho. So, yeah, Coutinho's interesting, you know. He's having the best patch of games that, you know, I think he's ever had for Liverpool. I was looking at some data on him on Twitter, and everything is increasing, you know, shot volume, shot accuracy. So, yeah, I think he's a good pick. I'd definitely advise, you know, considering getting some Liverpool midfield coverage in. You know, I probably won't this week, because I think taking Mane out for a hit probably isn't worth it. And neither for KDB. Yeah, Livy seem, you know, they seem to have turned a corner. And, you know, as we spoke about before, they completely dismantled City. Like, they dominated them. Like, their expected goal stat, like, was huge. They were probably unlucky not to score even more. Now, Coutinho, he takes, like, 50% of his shots inside the box, which is pretty good. Firmino's is better. So, sort of, over the last four game weeks, Coutinho's taken, looks like, 16 shots with 8 inside the box. But he's also created 9 chances, which is also pretty impressive. So, Coutinho probably boasts the best stats out of the two of the midfielders at the moment. But you know, it's interesting. Up there as well as Mane, who has taken one less shot inside the box in comparison to Coutinho. So, I don't think the hit is probably worth it there. Especially considering the fact that it looks like Joe Hart might be out, and Vincent Kompany has been ruled out for that Southampton game.
Yeah,
so,
and Mane is going to lead the line as a false nine, because Pele's out and Rodriguez has got a long-term injury. Pele's got 5 yellow cards, so he's gone. So I reckon Mane will lead the line against City, and I reckon they're weak at the back.
Mm.
So you definitely... And then Southampton then have Aston Villa at home, so you'd be crazy to get rid of Mane just yet. He's got 2 or 3 weeks left in him to prove his worth. I'm sitting on Mane as well, and I've been looking at all sorts of options this week, and I've decided to keep him in just for those two reasons. One is he'll be leading the line this week against a weakened City, and then next 2 weeks he's got 2 pretty good game weeks.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, it's Villa, and I think it's Crystal Palace after that. So,
yeah,
definitely like Liverpool coverage. So we'll just look at Firmino quickly. So he comes in at 8.0, so he's 0.4 cheaper than Coutinho. So the question is, you know, is he worth getting in instead of Coutinho? I mean, with Firmino, there's not a great deal of data to go from what we've got, but it's sort of, if you extrapolate it, he probably comes a little short in comparison to Coutinho. And we, as you said before, like, we don't, you know, you don't, I mean, Coutinho, he's got that injury cloud for this week. We're still not sure if he's nailed on. But with Firmino, we don't know whether he's completely nailed on. Like, Benteke's hanging on. Benteke and Sturridge are on the bench.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know.
Yeah, so Coutinho, I reckon he's having a sick season, and I want him in my team, but he has a minor hamstring strain. He's not playing Europa this week. He may come back and play Swansea at home. Now, this Swansea game is turning into a massive, massive game for Liverpool. Some people are saying it's the biggest game in 20 years at Anfield. The reason is because the Liverpool guys are playing really well away from home under Klopp. They're doing everything that he asks. They've had a fantastic run in a very, very difficult set of fixtures, plus being in Europe. And they've lost one game across all that time, and that was at Anfield against Crystal Palace, who was struggling. So there's no doubt the team needs to turn that corner and needs to roll out this kind of performance on the home turf. So this game against Swansea, who is another struggling side in the EPL, is becoming really, really important. Coutinho, sick player, minor hamstring injury. They're saying he might play, he's going to miss Europa. But don't forget, he's picked up a hamstring injury, and even if he misses Europe, it's still only 1 week since he did it, and he's a really, really important player for Liverpool. So I reckon he'd be 50-50 at best to play this week. But I think that he's definitely the pick. Firmino, fantastic performance. I mean, the game ball would have had to be cut in half between him and Coutinho, really. I mean, that was just, after every goal, the commentator said, another goal made in Brazil. Either one of them was scoring, the other one assisting. Who knows how he fits in with Sturridge and Benteke? I mean, there's a thought that maybe he's going to be an away game specialist, so they'll play a 4-3-3 away and play on the counter with Firmino leading the line with his pace and agility. And then at home, they'll look to the likes of Benteke and Sturridge to play a more attacking game, where, you know, obviously the focus is on the home team to attack in the EPL. So it's hard to know. Need that selection consistency. I mean, we're FPL players. We're looking at statistics. We're looking at data. There's not enough on Firmino. Coutinho, I think, is a really good option.
Yeah, I agree.
Going forward, but yeah. No hurry to get him in this week.
Yeah, I don't think it's too much hurry.
Just a little minor point as we discuss these players. It comes down to a little bit of a mindset, don't you think? I mean, you've got guys, you know, you've got guys like Ozil, for example, at Arsenal, just producing week after week after week. Now, he's not going to score three goals. And you've got Sanchez, who's doing nothing but has the potential to score a brace or more per week, scoring big, big bursts. And some of these guys sort of fall in that same category. Like Barkley has the potential to score 19 points like he did on the weekend. But for me, Delofeu is a much better option because he's going to give you that consistency because he's just a class player and he's full of assists. So some of these selections are going to be, you know, what you're after it in the balance of your side. I mean, there's guys like Eriksen who have just come off a good weekend as well. He got 10 points. He got a couple of assists. Now, he's a pretty consistent kind of Ozil type, you know, Delofeu type player, very silky and really good dead ball specialist, able to provide those assists. Or you've got those explosive goal-scoring players like Ayew and Barkley and Sanchez, and it's interesting to see people's philosophies and the type of players that they go for.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think as you said, you just need a bit of a balance. Consider the prices of the players, and just see which players are worth keeping. Like which explosive players are worth keeping, like Barkley, for instance. Like, I don't know, he's interesting. I mean, for Sanchez definitely worth keeping. Actually, you know, I was just reading that Wenger's in his press conference has just said that Sanchez has a minor, funnily enough, hamstring problem.
Yeah.
But Wenger, this is about half an hour ago or something.
He's still going to play him, though.
He's still going to play him, yeah. There's a good jazz. Like 90% chance he'll still play him, so that's good.
I think he's had that for a while.
Yeah.
Remember he had that minor twinge and came off, and then he went and flew over to Chile, and he was injured when he arrived and still played all two or three games, 90 minutes, and then came back and straight into the side again. Like, I think he's, he's playing injured.
He's just injured all the time. He's always injured. He's always tired. He's always injured, but he still plays.
So. Two goals for Arsenal midweek.
Yeah, two goals,
And an assist.
And an assist. Gun. So, cool. Let's move on to strikers. So, yeah, this is what killed me. So, so we have, Harry Kane and this fella named Romelu Lukaku. So, yeah, I don't think we need to dwell too much on these two. Like, you know, these two, they're coming close to essential. So, you probably do need both of them. I think the thing we probably need to talk about is, like, you know, do you start committing surgery to your team to get Aguero back in?
Mate, there's four strikers to talk about. Kane, Lukaku, Vardy,
and Aguero.
Yeah. And I'm going to chuck in a fifth. I'm going to chuck in the Watford strikers, Deeney and Ighalo. Mm. I'm going to chuck them in as one because take your pick there because they have a pretty good three or four game fixture set coming up and they can be part of the equation if you decide to commit to Aguero.
Yeah.
But really, you know, Vardy's going for goal number 11, is it, that would break the record? And, you know, there's no doubt he'll get it. I mean, I think the entire EPL fraternity is hoping he gets it, especially against United. That'd be just joy. Kane, Lukaku, they're going punch for punch, aren't they? I mean, Lukaku, yeah, we sort of wrote him off as a bit of a donkey like Pelé at the start of the year, but he's only 23, and he's playing phenomenal football. I mean, that header he got from Coleman and just drifted across the keeper from no pace was on that ball, and he created a goal. I mean, he's just class at the moment and playing with a lot of confidence. And Harry Kane, well, his stats were always there, weren't they? I mean, we spoke about him and said the drought's got a break because his statistics are just fantastic. They're the two must-have strikers. And then Aguero, well, you're talking about the best FPL player.
Yeah.
Quite simply, he's 13.1 million. He's 13.1 million for a good reason. He's the best. It's all about timing. At some point, you've got to bring Aguero in. Is it, you know, do you have to do it straight away? Manchester City fixtures aren't great.
No.
He is fixture proof. I think you bring Aguero in when you're confident that David Silva's back.
I think there's a bit of time to wait on him. I just think the Premier front line is Kane, Lukaku and Vardy. And it wouldn't be a bad move, but I think there's just a bit of time to wait. So, yeah, cool. So we're going to go straight into the Rate My Team segment of the pod. Now, I'm looking at it now. And her name is Sophia Jansen.
Yeah.
And what's her story?
So she's the daughter of Koen, who we discussed in an earlier pod.
Oh, okay.
He was the Dutch wheelchair Olympian basketballer. Basically had chosen an entire Dutch team that was travelling pretty poorly until Van Alden started to pull his finger out. The reason why I chose her team is because it's really unorthodox. She's absolutely killing it in our local league. She's coming second.
Yeah.
She's beating myself. She's got a massive 89 points on the weekend, but it's a really, really interesting team. She doesn't look at it too much. She's still got Payet sitting there. I'm not even sure she knows that he's basically injured for 3 months.
Mm.
But she is absolutely killing it. So, well done, Sophia.
What's her overall ranking? Can you see it there?
I'll look that up.
So she's got Begovic in goal, her and Romero as her next keeper. She's got Danny Simpson, Monreal from Arsenal, Niom from Watford, Volshide from Stoke, and then Darmian from United. Then she's got Philip Coutinho, Mesut Ozil, Nathan Redmond, Christian Eriksen, and Dimitri Payet in midfield. Then she's got Lukaku, Giroud, and Rooney.
Yeah.
So it's a it's a pretty good team. I mean, it's not a pretty good team. It's a good team. I quite like that team.
So her total points is 668. Her overall rank is 294,000.
Yeah.
So she's doing pretty well. I think it's going to fall apart. There's no doubt.
Mm.
I think, you know, Darmian's not playing for Man U, and she's got a lot of money invested in Darmian, who's 5.6 million. Meanwhile, she's playing Simpson from Leicester, who, although he got 10 points, is 4.5 million. And Neon from Watford is playing. He's kind of rusted on. He's 4.6 million. So she's got Walschild from Stoke, who got 6 points. He's only 4.4 million. So she's got quite possibly the cheapest backline I've ever seen. Three out of the four are like around 4.5, plus Monreal, who is a quality back from Arsenal, with Darmian just sitting on the bench, not playing. In the midfield, Coutinho's an inspired choice. Ozil, fantastic. Nathan Redmond, gifted player, but hardly rusted on. Sort of comes on as an impact player. Eriksen, fantastic choice. And I think three out of those four are really form midfielders. But Redmond's just a bizarre. Well, it was obviously her fifth midfielder playing because Payet's out. So she's got a lot of money, dead money on the bench. And I'd probably include Rooney as a dead 10 million as well, because he's playing on the bench. He's obviously on the bench because he was injured last week, I think. Lukaku and Giroud. I mean, Giroud's someone we haven't spoken about, but he's in fine form at the moment.
Yeah,
he's scoring a goal a game.
It's just a pity Walcott exists.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so.
So there's no doubt this team will fall apart, but she's absolutely smashed it with 89 points.
Yeah, Michelle, I'm assuming she's got two transfers. If she does, if she doesn't, I mean, it wouldn't take much. Like, you just trade. I mean, even if Rooney was fit, get rid of him. You just trade Rooney to Kane and then trade Payet to someone, her team would be sweet, I reckon.
Yeah.
I think
the defence has to be looked at a little bit.
It needs to be looked at, but she'll be right this week. She'll just play Arsenal, Watford and Stoke. She'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, she can fix it over time, for sure. It's just a very unorthodox, non-templated team. I love it. I think she's doing very well. And she's done very well over the season. So, good on her.
Sophia Jansen, yeah. How old is she?
I think she's 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, she's doing very well.
Quiet now.
Cool. All right. Righty. That's going to wrap up tonight's program. Excuse the length of the program. It's been a rusty week. All right. Thanks for that, guys. We'll see you next time.
It's been a tough week. See you, Bill.
I'll see you soon. Cheers, yeah.
Cheers, mate.